All right, this evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the third chapter of Hebrews. You say, we went over that last time and you got into the fourth chapter. That's right. But it's an amazing thing, studying the Word of God. Sometimes you can be teaching something and teaching, and it's true, but you don't see it all. And when the scripture says that, and we know that the Lord works out all things together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called to according to your purpose, we know that to be absolutely true. And as we look at the nation of Israel and its relationship with thee, and we look at our relationship with thee, and you know, we have to come to recognize that you are an immutable God. That means you don't change. And an omnipotent God. You have the power to do anything, or God has the power to do anything that's consistent with his will. And he's the self-eternally existing one. He's always in the present tense. He knows the beginning from the ending, and it's very difficult for us to think this way, but there isn't anything that's not in the present tense for God. You know, everything that's happened at any point in time, it's always as if, you know. So when we see the portrayal of God by men, they can't help but do excuse me. Debbie, would you get my tea? I left it in there. Man can't help but look at things from his perspective. Yeah. And yet the scripture says of the natural man or the unsaved man that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many?
No, not one.
No, not one or not even one. Would be a good way to say it. So when we look at the Eve, what was the deception of Eve? Well, she was created in the image of God. Actually, God created Adam. And then he saw that, and of course, this is language that we can understand. For an omniscient God, it's not like there was a failure of his memory or anything of the sort. But the way it's written in Scripture, he saw the man, he made a mate for everyone but man. So it's not good for man to be alone, so he'll help it, make him a help meet. And what that means, the word meet means fitting, a fitting mate. You know. And of course, that can speak of the sexual union. And it can also, speak of, you know, in raising a family, in living in the world. There's two ways of looking at things. There's a man's way of looking at things, and there's a woman's way of looking at things. And both are necessary. You know. And the woman, if you think about it, she was made to have children. Now, for some reason or other, some women have medical problems and can't produce. But, woman wasn't made to be out working in the everyday world. You know, there comes a time when you might have to do it just because your husband's passed or something. But originally, as God set it up, it was, you know, that... the man was to provide for his family, and the wife was to, you know, nurture the family. Yeah. Now, that's not, you know, lots of women have to work. They don't have any income without working, you know, and the farther we go that way, the more necessary it comes. Look at the rate of inflation. You know, it's absolutely absurd. Oscar took my car over gassed it up for me and used my credit card. And I looked at the bill and I said, I used to be able to fill it up 3 times a month for that. You know, when I was in high school, graduated from high school, before I went into the Air Force, we had in California, at that time, every service station was a service station. They checked your radiator, they checked your battery, they washed your windshield, they gave you service. You know. And now they don't even pump your gas, you've got to do it. And gas is higher than ever. Now, when I was a senior in high school, before I went into the Air Force, at the Serve Yourself station, they had them in California then. Then gasoline was a penny a gallon less at the Serve Yourself station than it was at the full service stations. Full service station. I guess that would be the way to say it. It was 17.9 cents, almost 18 cents a gallon. Well, what was it the other day when you filled mine, Oscar? Something like 460 or something like that. It's totally absurd. Yeah. But it's the sign of the times. Yeah. And it's interesting that as we get closer and closer to the coming of our Lord, we see less and less interest in our Lord. Yeah. Some people never go to to church in their whole life unless they go to witness a wedding or a funeral or something of that sort. They just don't go. Yeah. So here in this book of Hebrews, I'm going to back up into the third chapter. And you say, well, you've taught this before. Yeah, I have. But I've been looking at this from just a little bit different perspective. So let's begin reading. He said, take heed, brethren, in verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, what was it that caused problems in the first place? The serpent put into the mind of Eve doubt upon what God said. So always at the root of all of the evils in the world is really unbelief. It's right there at the root. Okay? So he says, in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. Exhort means to encourage. So exhort one another daily while it's called a day. In other words, don't let the day pass without encouraging individuals. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin is the way that translators translated it. And I've been over it many, many times before. Sin here is preceded by the definite article. And there are, I've forgotten the exact number. I think it's 53 occasions in the New Testament when we have sin in the singular preceded by the definite article. Some are translated, most are not. And in the book of Romans, from the 4th chapter to the 8th chapter, we have it 30 times and not a single time. None of the definite articles are translated. Now, when you read about God in a Greek New Testament, usually the definite article is before God because there's only one God, the God, okay? Or the God, however you want to say it. So, the God. And when it refers to Jesus, there were many men named Jesus. But it refers to the Jesus, the specific Jesus, the Peter, the specific Peter. Okay. And the translators, because we don't go that far in pointing out, whether it's singular or plural or who we're talking about. We don't use the definite article all the time, and generally when we talk about sin, we rarely use the definite article, even though God used it quite a number of times. I was just looking to see if I still had that bulletin up here that, here it is. The noun sin is found in the New Testament 174 times. Okay? In the references below, in my little pamphlet there, there are 48, and it's singular, and they're all preceded by the definite article. And so we have, for example, I'm going to point this out. It is found with this particular construction 30 times in Romans, 6 times in the Gospel of John, 4 times in the book of Hebrews, 3 times in 1 John, 2 times in 1 Corinthians, and once in each of the following, Acts, 2 Thessalonians, and James. The 30 references in Romans are found between chapter 5 and verse 12. I think I said 4:12 when I was speaking before, but 5 and verse 12 in Romans 8:3. And we find it here in this third chapter of Hebrews. And this is one of the occasions, Hebrews 3:13, where it's not translated. Now, what are we talking about today? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of these sin. Okay, so what sin did Eve commit? She committed the sin of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. And then she gave also to her husband, and he did eat. Okay, so we're talking about that specific sin. Now, if we think about the nation of Israel, we have a period of time with the Old Testament prophets and so forth. And then we have Moses bringing the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so this book is written to the Jews who 60 days out of Egypt, and they moaned and groaned and complained all the time that they were under the ruler that didn't know Joseph. So when Joseph died, there came along a ruler he hadn't died yet. Got to get my thoughts together. But anyway, there came along a ruler that didn't know Joseph. Now, Joseph had helped the Egyptians tremendously and gotten them through a famine. Okay? And so the Jews dwelt safely. They dwelt independently. And because the Jews made animal sacrifices in accordance with what had been taught to Adam, and because Egyptians worshipped animals, then they put the Jews down on the Nile Delta. And they were down there, very fertile area, and so forth. But they were kind of isolated from them. Well, then this Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, he came along, and he began to, enslave the Jews and use them as cheap labor. Slave labor is absolutely cheap. Yeah. So it says, exhort one another today while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness, let's put it this way, of Eve's sin. But Eve couldn't transmit that sin to the rest of us. The scripture says, as in Adam, what? All die. So when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he brought the whole human family under the sentence of death. Because God said to thee, thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. But our God is a loving God. He is a all-powerful God. He's a loving God, a gracious God. And God, from before the foundation of the world, because the scripture says that Christ was crucified when? Before the foundation of the world. So God always knew what was going to happen. Why? Because he's omniscient. He knows everything. He didn't make Adam sin. He didn't make Eve sin. But he knew that Eve would be deceived, but Adam was not deceived. That's why Paul says over in the book of Timothy, where we have instructions, 1 Timothy, instructions on the qualifications of a preacher. Now, in the day in which we're living, we have many churches that have women pastors. You know, they're not being led of God in making that choice. They're being led of their political feelings. You know, that somehow or other a woman's equal to a man in every way. And don't tell me I can't preach. But the woman was in the transgression, and if we were to take the time to go back to Timothy and look at those qualifications, it says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Why? Because the woman was in the transgression. The scripture tells us specifically, Eve was deceived. It tells us specifically, Adam was not deceived. So, that being the case, and we can see it in the world. You know, flattery with some women will get you anywhere you want to go. You know, it's not always true of every woman, but if they had a good, strong father like Joanne had, you know, he says he's flattering you and wanting to go out with you. You know, and if he can't get you, he'll get somebody else. You know. So don't always listen to this stuff that goes to your head. You know. And there's lots of reasons why Joanne should be flattered. When she was a young woman, she was very beautiful. You know. So it says, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of these sins. What is every religious system in the world based upon? It's not based upon what God has said. It's based upon what man thinks. And man thinks according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or his concepts of right and wrong. So does every man have the same concepts of right and wrong? No, we have people in Nigeria when they have gone into the Cross River State, and I understand that ministry is coming along very well, but in the Cross River State, they're still practicing cannibalism in the Cross River State. Now, I was just looking at some airplanes that are supposed to come along in the future, you know, and some of the designs. Now, back when I was a kid during World War II, I was born in 32, so I was born in one of the worst years of the Great Depression. You know. And then what most people don't realize when the Depression started, you know, you couldn't get a job, so people were being paid very little for whatever skills they had. There's always somebody else to put in your spot. If you don't want to work for that amount, this guy behind you will. So there were people who did very well during the Depression financially. But most people had it pretty tough. You know? And I still like fried potatoes. You know what? You could get 100 pounds of russet, number one russet potatoes for When I was a kid, I can remember riding with Dad one day, and this guy was selling potatoes along the road. Dad stopped and bought a 100-pound sack for a dollar. What is it? How many dollars a pound are potatoes now? I have no idea. Debbie's been doing all my shopping. But 100 pounds of potatoes. And I love fried potatoes. Yeah. And my dad could, he would slice them, you know, instead of like French fries or dicing them or anything like that. They had slices that were the diameter of the potato. You know? And the way you could fry those things up, they were absolutely delicious. And we ate fried potatoes just about every day of the week. And we're thankful that we had fried potatoes to eat just about every day of the week. You know? And I think, really, when I look about back at things that happened to me, the Great Depression, the things that, the bones that I broke, the things that I did, every single thing that happened to me in my life growing up, I've used it sometime or other in the ministry. And then when I went to school, I didn't know where to go. You know, Brother Stewart was pastoring the, I was saved at Calvary Baptist in Bellflower, but I was in the Air Force in Spokane, Washington. And I didn't know where to go. A friend of mine in the service invited me to this Plymouth Brethren Church. And we went there. They had communion every Sunday. But I was learning, you know, and learning and taking in copious quantities of the Word of God. And one day, you know, the way they had a meeting, only believers could be there, only members could be there for the first service, and they had communion every Sunday. And following the pattern in the scriptures, if anybody had anything that would come on their mind, any of the men, they could stand up and comment on it. You know, well, as much of the Word of God that was coming into my head in those days, I had a lot to say. So I was preaching for a long time before I ever went to school. And then I just read the book of Leviticus, and I asked them on one of those Sunday mornings, I said, I understand why you use wine, you know, in the communion service. What I don't understand is why we're using a fresh baked loaf of leavened bread. You know, the Passover was the Jews couldn't have any leaven in their houses. And they just kind of politely invited me not to attend anymore. You know? So then I went to Fourth Presbyterian Church. You know? And there was a lot of truth in both of them. But so much, you know, what people think. And one thing that was never taught, you know, and I learned it after being in the ministry for a long time, is what I call the doctrine of the sin. Our translators by, you know, if you study Greek, you recognize that the Greeks use the definite article far more than we do in English. You know. But if you take the definite article out when you're talking about, let's go back to Romans for just a moment. Romans chapter, let's begin at chapter 6. And if 30 times between verse 12 of chapter 5 and verse 3 of chapter 8, we have sin in the singular 30 times, and it's preceded in all 30 times with a definite article, but not one of them is translated. So what the translators do, they dismiss the article. Now, I don't care whether you're studying Greek, Spanish, in Spanish they use the article more because, but and in Greek they use it more. But the singular definite article, the, with a singular noun is all about specificity. Yeah. I don't know whether that's a word or not. It's a specific sin. It's really Adam's sin, Eve's sin, but she couldn't pass the sin on to the human family. But Adam could. And Adam, out of his love for Eve, so Adam is a type of Christ, gave himself for her, and when she offered the fruit to him, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he also ate. But the scripture tells us very clearly, Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. She believed what the serpent said. So, that being the case, we can see that a lot of religious people, the King James translator, for example, did not see in the use of the specific definite article the that Paul was talking about a specific sin in Romans, not just sin in general, a specific sin. And the specific sin is Adam's sin. And Adam's sin plunged us all into death. So as in Adam all die, what? In Christ all shall be made alive. Now, with this, we're writing to the Hebrews. And I was going to read from Romans, but I think we'll just go back to Hebrews and continue what we've been doing. But we're writing to Hebrews. Who are Hebrews? Who speaks the Hebrew language? The Jews, right? Okay, so this is the book of Hebrews. So it was written to Hebrews who profess faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. The nation as a whole rejected him. But this book was written to those who, express faith in Christ. So when we're reading here and we use this specific definite article, the, with a specific noun, sin, we're talking about a singular sin. It's not sin in general. So when it says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the sin. So what was in that tree? The serpent said, oh, God doth know that when you eat of this tree, you're going to be like God. Now, Eve was deceived because she was already in the image of God. Adam was in the image of God, and Eve was created from a rib from Adam's side. So they were both in the image of God. Eve was deceived. Adam sinned for Eve, really. He who knew no sin in Adam became sin by sinning. But Jesus Christ, who is God, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so he could stand in our stead in life and in death. In life, he fulfilled all righteousness, and he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And in him was what? No sin. None at all. Okay. Now it's pretty hard for us to think of anyone that way, because it's so common for us. You know, our sin nature, we can't control it. You know, we have dreams that we can't control. We can be walking down the street, singing Yankee Doodle Dandy or whatever, and all of a sudden some sinful thought comes into your mind. Maybe it's provoked by a gal with a particularly good shape, if you're male. I guess it doesn't make any difference anymore. Yeah. And that's how far it goes. We're being told today that homosexuality, and I don't know why they use homosexuality to deal with men. It's one sex if it's two women. And neither one of them, by themselves, two women can't reproduce. Two men can't reproduce. But we're living at a time where we're trying to save the environment. How much sense does that make? And so our kids in school are being taught, I remember when Ava told us about one of her friends said, "I'm bi." She was 10 years old and saying that she's bisexual. She doesn't know what sex she is at 10. So, at 10 years of age, you haven't matured to the 11th level of understanding your sexuality, okay? So why was she saying that she was bisexual? She didn't know. The teachers had been talking about that. And we get people indoctrinated, And so we become, because of what we believe, which was given to us by God, we become victims or cause of hate crimes. Do we hate anybody? We're told to go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. I don't care what kind of sins you've committed. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. If you come to the place where you reject the truth of the Word of God for the law, or and whichever version of this, you want to take, then you're going to get to the place where you've committed the unpardonable sin because you've rejected the possibility that it can be in Jesus, and there's only one Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." But most people, they're not thinking in those terms. They're just thinking in sexual terms, sexual pleasure, and so on and so forth. And like Brother Stewart used to say, man would screw a snake if somebody would hold it still for him. I realize, I don't know how that word becomes so nasty. I have a screwdriver, and I have a screw, and I'm going to put it in the board. But if it, it's just emblematic, and really nothing wrong with the word. But that's the subtlety of the devil. The devil puts terms that are perfectly proper terms in a non-acceptable way. And after a while, you don't know what you can say and what you can't say without hurting somebody's feelings. Well, let's go on. "For we are made partakers of Christ." What? The people like you and me, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? God and Him is no sin at all. It's hard for us to think in those terms because it's perfectly natural by our natural inclinations. Natural nature comes from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what is the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's sense of right and wrong. What is the basis of every religious system in the world and most of what's called Christianity? It's man's concepts of right and wrong. So if man has concepts that homosexuality is okay, then they can build a religion around that. Or lesbianism is okay, they can build a religion around that. And you dare not say anything against it because that makes you a guilty of prejudice of the worst sort. And so, as we continue, "For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Our confidence came when we realized through the preaching of the gospel that we are sinners, that we cannot satisfy God by our behavior. That's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was all about. That's the devil's lie, that behavior has something to do with your eternal security. And it has absolutely nothing to do with your eternal security, because the scripture says, when Christ died, you died. So we're dead. And our life is hid with Christ where? In God. So, you know, in a social situation, it's better to do good than to do bad. It's better to get along with people, work out your difficulties and so on and so forth. That's better. You know. But you can't lose your salvation if you don't. So, you know, in terms of getting along with people, that's one thing. In terms of eternal salvation, it's quite another. We're not saved because of anything that we have done. We're saved because God changed our minds so that when the gospel was preached, we understood that Christ died for our sins. And because Christ died for them, they're paid for. And God says concerning, you know, because we're still living and Christ died nearly 2,000 years ago. So everybody before Christ was saved by Christ. That is those that believe. And everyone after Christ that has believed on Christ is his shed blood that saves both. Yeah. And if people refuse, and they, for whatever reason, I don't need it, I'm a good person, whatever. Lots of people have some crazy ideas. Yeah. But when you fall into that vein, you fall into the vein of thinking, well, I'm good enough to go to heaven by who I am. And that was the lie of the devil. And the scripture says you're not. No. You have to be in Christ. So he says, while it is said today, when is the day of salvation if you're unsaved? Today. No. And how does it come? Well, faith comes by hearing. No. I wish we had to build a new building because we couldn't get enough people into this one. Have to build a new building. But we're in the latter days. And in the latter days, the Lord said, will he find what?
The faith.
The faith. Not faith. It's the faith. A specific faith. The personal work of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can get rid of the Hindus, you can get rid of every Oriental religion, every Native Indian religion, every concept that every man has who doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, there's not, you know, we would be called, that would be called a hate crime on our part. I don't hate those people. We give a lot of money every month to different ones around the world to preach the gospel so people will be saved. You know, in the Cross River state of Nigeria, they're still practicing cannibalism. You know, and maybe the missionaries that are working there are in danger of being eaten. You know, and 21st century America, well, it might get that bad before we get through, but I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. What I'm trying to point out, everything that man thinks religiously that is false came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And people try to make something good about every religion in the world. But how good is it if you teach people a lie and they think that they're going to go to heaven, you know, or to nirvana, or whatever they want to call it, and they're on their way to hell because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Jews had a problem. They were God's chosen people. So, in this age, we've got the same problem. You know, go to church. The sad thing in most churches today is there it's all about your conduct. I went to three different Bible colleges, and there was more emphasis put on conduct than on doctrine in all three. You know, two of them were super Baptists. One of them, you know, were the General Association of Regular Baptists, and the other Missionary Baptists. And Missionary Baptists say they only are the bride of Christ. That's false. You know? And, you know, the legalism in the General Association of Regular Baptists is so great, there's people in those churches that think that they don't sin. You know? And that's nonsense. And the people that were teaching it, they spent more time with that than the Word of God, because they couldn't teach the Word of God and teach conduct as well. Because, as it says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, you know, today is the day of salvation. If you will hear his voice, do what? Harden not your hearts. So when we preach that there's salvation in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, we're not saying that we're the only church in the world that teaches that. And that would be, you know, so totally absurd. And there are believers literally in virtually everything that names the name of Christ. But there are churches that think they're God's special people, and there are saved people in those too. And as we go on with this, it says, for some, now we're talking to Jews about Jews, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Now, who came out of Egypt? Israel. And most of them provoked Moses. Most of them provoked God by believing contrary to the truth of the Word of God. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Now, who was in the wilderness for 40 years? The nation of Israel. So all of the children who are 20 and under, they grew up to be 60. And the old folks died off. And they got down to the, but not all of them, there were a few that believed. They got down to the Jordan. Oh my goodness, where did time go? But they got down to the edge of the Jordan, you know, and they were afraid that they were going to die in the Jordan River. You know. And they were afraid. There's giants in the land. And so they sent spies out to spy out the land. And out of the 12 spies, one from each tribe, 10 of them gave a false report. Oh, we can't go in there and take that land. There are giants in that land. But Joshua and Caleb brought a good report. And Moses says, you know, we can do it. But because those people didn't believe it, they died. And the children then, you know, he takes them into the land. But God judged the nation right there at the edge of the Jordan. And he took, you know, a rod and put a serpent on it, you know, and put it up before them. And he said, whosoever shall look shall what?
Live.
Shall live. You know, and those that looked, lived. And the others, they were being bitten by poisonous snakes. We've all been bitten by the serpent, the devil. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. We have death working in us. You know. And so that very fact, why do people die? Why do babies die? Why do young children die? Why do teenagers die? There's all kinds of cause, but it's appointed that the man wants to do what?
Die.
To die. So death is part of the curse. And Christ paid for the curse. And we're told it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. So we can't look for something to do. Well, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't spit and I don't chew. You know, I always figured the reason I never got, I drink tea or cider, but I don't drink coffee. I could never get the taste of coffee out of my mouth. So when I, like every kid, we started out with the corn silk, and that stuff will burn your tongue, I tell you. Gotta be all grown up and smoking. Well, I don't have anything to smoke. Well, we got some corn silk here. Let's try it out. We'll roll it up in one of Dad's cigarette papers. Yeah. But at the first chance they get, every teenager has to try smoking. Yeah. Seems like it anyway. And I probably would have smoked like everybody else. But to me, and I'm not saying anything about drinking coffee or I never liked coffee. And the reason I didn't like coffee is I didn't like the aftertaste it left in my mouth. And from my experience, smoking cigarettes left the same aftertaste. So that's the only reason I never smoked. So, that didn't make me better than anybody, but you'd think so from some of the schools I went to. So, people are always trying to involve their behavior in their relationship with God. And good behavior is always better than bad behavior. Yeah. But we have to think about our behavior in this respect, and with this we'll have to close, and I'll continue with the same next time. But the moment that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you died. You didn't actually die. Judicially, you died. You died with Christ. So when Christ was crucified, you're counted to have died with him. And you're counted to have been buried with him. And you're counted to have been raised with him. And you're counted to have ascended into heaven with him. And you're counted to be present with him already in heaven at whatever age you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're dead and your life is what? It's him. Well, I'm never going to forgive that person. They did this against me and they did that against me. You know, what? That's a lot of wasted time, folks. You know, because, the truth of the matter, there is none of us that are any good. How many? Not even one. Yeah. And once we understand that, we begin to understand a little bit more about the gospel and our interpersonal relationships and our relationship with the Lord. So God says, I'm not looking at your life. Only in one respect. I've given you certain spiritual gifts which develop in you as you grow in the Lord. And you may be practicing them. You may be one who prays intercessory prayer. You pray for everybody in the church and you pray for hours. You know, I don't pray like that, but some people do, because I don't have that particular gift. Yeah. And so we all have different gifts, and they're all used in the body of Christ for what? You know, and like our natural gifts, we have things internal that have to do with the health of the body, just like a church has things internal that have to do with the health of the church. And then there are things that are external, which are, you know, they can be to aid the church or they can be to kind of tear it down. You know? And so that's why we're compared to a body. And so the Lord says the way that we're to look at it, and the Jews were particularly good at this. Yeah. And that's why we're spending so much time with this in a book written to Christian youth. Yeah. Now, you have to allow that within anybody, you may have some that have actually believed and some that have not. Yeah. Because people mix up their conduct. And by Eric's own testimony, he thought he was a Christian when he was a little boy. Yeah. And didn't actually get saved till he was 21. And he tells that on himself, you know. And he wasn't any different than any other kid. And he was all the time promising the Lord, well, if you forgive me this one time, I won't do it again. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We all do that. That's part of what we got from that tree. The idea of putting up a pretense. Yeah. And so, I think it was Shakespeare that said, to thine own self be true.
Yeah.
But he stole it from the Bible. he put it in different words, but he stole it from the Bible. And I say to you all, and to myself included, to thine own self be true. We can't make ourselves into something we're not. But we've been saved by grace, been given certain gifts that we can operate in by faith. It may be attendance, it may be giving. I mean, maybe any one of many, many things we can read about in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. But we exercise our gifts, what? For the building up of the body. Yeah. And in that respect, sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do, and sometimes we do. But it's our inclination to go the wrong way first. Yeah, that's just our inclination. Anyway, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And just by thinking about these thoughts that the writer to the Hebrews wrote to Jews that profess faith in Jesus Christ. In writing to them, he wrote to us as well, because we're no different than they, except that the Jews thought they had a relationship with thee because they were Jews. And there are people that have been raised in the church that think the same way. But we know that every one of us that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life, and we shall never perish. And if out of those, every one of us that have believed, if any one of us should say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So therefore, we have to grow in grace, which is unmerited favor, and in the knowledge. You know, we may have read the Bible once in our life, but that's not enough. You know, so we have to read the scriptures and then listen to it preached so we can understand what it means. Because the surface inclination is to think that we have to live to some particular code. And of course, good behavior is better than bad behavior. But no one is saved by their behavior. We're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.